In Psalms chapter 14, I want to preach on just a thought on how I know God is real. How do you know that tonight? How do you know what we do and why we come in here is worth doing? You know what I'm asking tonight? When the world looks at us and thinks that we're strange and thinks that we believe and knows that we believe that there is a Heavenly Father above, and then we say there's not only a God in heaven, but we say that He sent His Son, and He was God manifest in the flesh. And we say, how do we know that tonight? How do we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a God in heaven, and that Jesus is real, and the Holy Spirit exists tonight? How do we know those things? I want you to look in Psalms chapter 14 and verse 1 tonight. The Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Can I park right here for just a second and say, ain't you glad God is real tonight? I'm glad He's real, friend. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad He's real. I know He's real, but I'm going to show you why I know He's real here in just a second. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And they are all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear. For God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob. Bring back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. As we read this passage of scripture right here, and we see how that man just don't believe in God. Man is corrupt. And we understand that, and we know that. Man is depraved, but he's not so depraved that he don't know that God is real. Tonight, let me say that the fool says, the atheist says there is no God. The agnostic believes that he don't know if there's a God or not. He don't know what to believe or what to disbelieve, if I could say it that way. Hey, listen tonight, even the devils in that know better than that. The book of James says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And let me say this tonight, before anybody can ever get saved, they must believe that there is a God. You got to understand that tonight. You got to believe that God is. Let me say tonight real quick that one reason I believe there is a God is mainly because that's the way that I was raised. There's no argument there. I mean, I was raised in church all my life. I've been taught to believe that there is a God. I've been taught to believe that Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit's real. I've been taught all these things from since I was just a little child. I've been raised in Sunday school. But tonight, I believe that we can look into Scripture and we can look in nature and we can look in some other places and see that God is real. Let me say tonight that the fool is one that is destitute of reason. When it talks about the fool in the Bible, a lot of times it's talking about one that is wicked or depraved. It's talking about one that is contrary to sound wisdom. Can I say tonight that, listen, that for man not to be able to understand that there is a higher power and that there is a God that is in heaven tonight, he's got to be a fool. I was going to say this for later, but I thought about what Brother Chris said, Brother Taylor, about that 101-year-old woman that got saved over there in Thailand. And here's what she said. She said, I always knew there was a God, and nobody had just told me his name. Amen. And he got over there and got to telling her about Jesus and what Jesus had done. Hey, listen, even them on the other side of the world that's never been exposed and that to any Bible teaching or Bible preaching, at 101 years old, she said, I knew there was a God. So tonight, how do we know that there is a God? Can I say quickly by way of introduction that man has got too wise and that for their own self? Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Romans chapter 1. Look with me in Romans chapter 1. It talks about the wisdom of man right here. In Romans chapter 1, look in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Can I tell you that's what's happened today? Man knows. Man, I have no doubt that man, as a creature, realizes and knows that God is real. But in his wisdom, he has become smarter than God and don't even believe that God is tonight. Let's look at some things, if we could. And let me say this, that some don't want to believe because if they did believe, then they would have to do something about their self. They would understand tonight. Five things tonight and how I know that God's real. Number one, because of the scenery that is outside. Take your Bible and look in the book of Psalms chapter 19. Just go a few verses over, a few chapters over from the text chapter. And what does he say in Psalms chapter 19? He said, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I'll say tonight that I don't believe that me and you can't go out them back doors and look up to heaven and look at the sun that is traveling and see that God ain't real. He said, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. He is going forth. He's from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. What's he talking about? He says you go outside and you look up to heaven and you see the stars and the moon, and you see the sun, and he uses the sun as an example, and he said, look, he said God has set him in his place, and he said just as a bridegroom comes out of his chamber, you can see him, he travels in his circuit, he has a path that he travels every day, he sets in the, he rises in the east and sets in the west, and you know something, he does that every day. You go outside, you get in the sun, he said you can feel the heat off that sun. Do you know how ludicrous it has to be for somebody to look up to heaven and see the stars and the moon and the sun and the firmament and can't see God's handiwork tonight? Listen, I mean, you have really got to be a fool when you look up there and think all this stuff, all that we see, the green grass, the trees, I mean the way that weather works and all that, and not to mention even our bodies, friend, to think that we have evolved out of something lesser than this. Hey, creation teaches us and tells us that there is a God. He said, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Do you ever just go out of the nighttime and just look up at the stars? You ever do that? You ever do that? As kids, we used to do that. We don't do it so much anymore. Why? We got too much to do, or we're too busy, or we want to watch something else. But when's the last time you ever just went outside and looked up to heaven and seen all the stars that were shining? All the different planets that you may or may not know about, but you can sure enough see them up there. You know, I'm determined today that man has got it in his mind that he had something to do with creation. I mean, I really believe that. I really think that man has got in his mind that he had something to do with creation. And friend, when I look up and I just see nature itself, I see God everywhere. There is no way. Was it even Darwin who said that, you know, Darwin, he is attributed in that to be the evolutionist. But he said even the human eye cannot have evolved. He said it's too complex. Just your human eye that's in you. Ain't God amazing tonight? He's amazing. And then people really want to know. They say, how do you know that God's real? Hey, friend, listen. The earth is sitting in a place that if we move just a little further to the sun, we'll burn up. We move back from the sun, we'll freeze to death. We tilt on the axis and that for the seasons. We're moving at 18 and a half miles per second, spinning around the sun and going around in a circle at the same time. But yet, we don't fly apart. Now, ain't that amazing? Traveling 18 and a half miles per second. One, we just went 18 and a half. Well, how many have we went now? Now we're just a moving in outer space, ain't we? And then people want to think that there ain't a God. How do I know God's real? I can look out in the firmament and in the heaven and I see His handiwork tonight. The book of Acts in chapter 14 is Paul was over there. He said, I believe he was this the point when he was in at Mars Hill. He said, nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. He said that unknown God. I believe that's what he was talking about over there in Acts chapter 14 when he's talking about that unknown God and he was prophesying or preaching unto them. If you let me say that, he said it's him that's done all these things. It's him that's made all this happen. And look, ain't that a wonderful thought tonight in what God's done? Amen. As he's preaching. Actually, he was not there at Mars Hill. That's actually when they thought they fell down from heaven when he was going to be Jupiter and Mercury. And he was over there preaching to them and he said, look, he said, it's God that's done these things. In Psalms chapter 97, he said, the heavens declare his righteousness and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. He said, look, the heavens declare his righteousness. So when you go out tonight, I remember when we had the eclipse. When we had the eclipse, I thought, you know, that's the time that a man needs to be on the radio. When we have the eclipse. You know why? Because everybody and their brothers are going to be standing out in their yard looking up to heaven. And I thought, well, that's going to be a time to just do a little preaching right there. That folk, that they're going to stand out there and they're going to look up. They're going to look up to that sun and wait for that moon to cross in front of it and block it. And all the time we kept looking up, looking up, looking up. Hey, I tell you, when you look up out there tonight, you ought to be looking up that there's a Heavenly Father up there tonight. I know this world is in chaos. I understand that tonight because of sin. I understand those things. But listen tonight. It's the heavens that declare His righteousness and declare His glory. How do I know He's real? I go outside and I'm seeing. Number two, not only because of the scenery that we see, but because of His Scripture tonight. You say, well, you got to believe the Scripture. That's always been the discussion at hand, hadn't it, since the very beginning of time over there in Genesis chapter 3. After God had created man and He created woman, I put them in the garden over there and gave them one thing not to do. Said, you can do everything else except don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what does Satan do in Genesis chapter 3? He comes by and he says unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Yes, that's what he said. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So the question is, Ben, is God's word real? And is God's word right? Now we know the answer to that tonight, don't we? Yes. But how do I know that God's word is real? It's because I know that His Scripture is true because it's been proved to be true. You ever tried God's word? How many of us tonight has ever believed what God said? Let me ask you now, are you saved? Then you tried it, didn't you? I mean, how did you know to get saved? Well, some preacher told me, or some Sunday school teacher told me, or my mama told me, or this. Listen, if you got saved, then it is all because of what the Bible said. The preacher knew what to tell you because of what the Bible said. That Sunday school teacher knew what to tell you because of what the Bible said. Your mother knew what to tell you because of what the Bible said. How do I know that God's real tonight? It's because I have found out that Scripture is true. You know, we know it's true tonight, and we know that it works simply because God said so. Now, we believe that in our heart tonight. I mean, listen, Psalms 93 said, "Thy testimonies are very sure." Psalms 119 said, "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." So we know, we take this scripture, and when the devil jumps upon our back, you go over to Psalms chapter 42 and you'll find the time when the psalmist of David, I mean, he was on a roller coaster. He was up and he was down. I mean, he was crying all the time. He was having a bad day. Not only a bad day, but a bad week, a bad month. I mean, everything was enclosing against him, against the psalmist. And his enemies come by and they said, "Where is thy God?" Now, ain't that just like the world when you're having a bad time? When death has snuck into your house and stole somebody from you, or I mean, listen, you're having financial problems, family problems, I mean, just all kinds of sickness maybe, and the world looks at you, and somebody will say, "Well, where's your God at now?" Let me tell you where God's at now. He's still there. Amen, but I know He's there. Why? Because I have found out that this scripture that is in front of me is true. How do you know that it's true, preacher? How do you know that this book works? You know, at one point He said, "Oh, come and taste and see that the Lord is good." Hey, I just put it to the test. I just found out that, listen, you do that. You seek after wisdom and the knowledge of God, you can find it. You need some help, you pray and seek Him. I come to the throne of mercy and grace to find mercy, to help in a time of need, and you will find it. I found that out. 1 Kings chapter 8 said, "Blessed be the Lord who hath given rest unto His people according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant." You know, nobody's never proved the Word of God wrong. They think they have. They hope they have. But you'll never prove this book wrong. Why? It's right. It's right every time. Listen, that tells you how to get saved. Listen, can I ask you tonight? You're willing to put your eternal soul in what the Scripture says. That if you'd come and trust Him to save you, believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, and ask Him to save you, He'll save you. But yet then we really don't want to do what the Scripture says about our living, do we? A lot of times. You want living separated and living holy? You know, 1 Peter 1 and 16 said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's just a little extra tonight. You better hope that the Word of God is real tonight, because our salvation rests in this book. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Tonight, let me ask you something. Have you ever, how do I know He's real? I see Him out in the scenery. I can see Him in the heavens and the firmament. But I see Him in this scripture right here, because I've put it to the test. Have you ever tried the book? Have you ever just put it to the test? I mean, not only for salvation, but then you read it and you find comfort. You ever just needed a time of comfort and opened the book, and lo and behold, God gives you some comfort out of this passage of Scripture. Or you need direction. You open it up and you get direction. Sometimes we needed conviction in our life. And lo and behold, we read the Bible, and guess what? Let me ask you something. You know that there's been times that I've read this book and had to stop reading and say, "Lord, I'm just sorry. I'm just sorry." I mean, not only would I tell Him, "Lord, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just a sorry Christian, but Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. I mean, I'm sorry for what I thought, and for the action and reaction that I've had in this situation." I've told you this once before, but I was aggravated with some people one time, and I was justifying my aggravation while I was riding the lawnmower. I remember that very well. And the Lord let me justify my aggravation for a whole day. Until the next day that I was reading in the book of 1 Peter, and He talks about having compassion on people. And the Lord said, "Do you reckon you're having compassion on people?" I don't know if He talks to you that way, but He talks to me that way. This is a one-of-a-kind book, ain't it? You ever seen a book like this? I'm being honest now. You ever seen a book that you can pick up and read and get something different out of it every time? You know why? It's a living book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. You know, that word inspired means God breathed. He breathed into it. It's different than any other book upon the face of the earth. How do I know that he's alive? Because of this book I'm holding in my hand tonight, the scripture tonight. I know that he's real tonight. This ain't on my outline tonight, but number three, you know how I know that he's real? Because of my supplications. How many times have you ever prayed and God come by? How many times have you ever prayed and God answered your prayer? A lot of people would call that coincidence, or, well, it just happened. I hope it's coincidental for them, but I'll be honest with you that they meet us. Actually, I hope it was God's divine plan to meet us so that we could tell them about the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. It's not coincidental when he's working over here and working over here and working over here. You ever seen him work in three or four different places at one time and put it all together? And then you stand back and wonder how he done that. You stand back and wonder how he moved on folks' hearts to make things happen. I don't know if I've ever told you all this story. When Brother Ricker was pastoring up in West Virginia, and we had decided as a church to send him $500. And I had that check in my back pocket. I just hadn't mailed it yet. And I hadn't wrote it. Actually, Miss Evelyn had given me the check. I hadn't wrote it. But I was going to write it that week and get it sent up there to him. Well, I just happened to pull into the gas station. Now, he's pastoring in West Virginia. I just happened to pull into the gas station over here at Athens out here on the interstate. And I pulled in one spot. And lo and behold, guess who was standing on the other side of the gas pump? Well, there stood Brother Ricker. And I said, "Hey, brother, what are you doing down here in Tennessee?" He said, "I come down here for a meeting." He said, "We got camp meeting to come to down here at my home church." And he said, "We just come down here and just wanted to have a meeting." I said, "Well, that's good." I said, "I've got something for you." And so I just pulled over there to the side of the gas station, wrote the check for the money that I was going to give to him, and then walked over there and handed it to him. And I don't remember if it's right then or if it was a few days later, he talked to me about that. And he said, "What you didn't know is that we had no money." He said, "We had no money." He said, "We come down here on a hope and a promise." And he said, "We hadn't told our kids yet." But he said, "It was getting awful close that we were, that me and their mama was going to tell them that we didn't have no money. They need to start praying." And listen, he said, "You just don't ever know what that meant." Now, you can call that coincidental if you want to. I believe God got the arrangements on that thing. God got the arrangements to not only have him parked at the place where he was, but he got the arrangements to have an empty slot right there next to him that I happened to pull into and get to see him. And then I got to give him that money. You know, sometimes it's not about us, it's about somebody else, that we get to be an answer to a prayer instead of needing the answer, you see. I can go on and go on about my supplications, about my prayer life, how I know he's real. How many prayers has he ever answered for you? I don't know how the world goes on, how they just live from day to day, hoping things happen, hoping that this will work or that will work or all of that. I know he's real because of the witness of my salvation. When I got saved, I got changed. Now, I was just 14 years old when I got saved, and so there wasn't a lot of things that had to change, if you understand what I'm saying. But there were still some things that had to change. The Bible said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You know how I know God's real tonight? Because of his salvation. Some of you all tonight got saved later in life, and you know from personal experience, you know what God brought you out of, the sin that he brought you out of, and the peace and the joy and the comfort that he brought you to. And a lot of people say that we're weak-minded and all these things, that we need something to cling to and something to lean on. You got that right. I really do. I do need something to cling to and something to lean on tonight. But it ain't because I'm weak-minded. It's because I need him tonight, and that in my life. How do I know that he's real? I know that he's real because he lives inside of me. He changed me. Listen, when Legion got saved in Mark chapter 5, the Bible said that Jesus had him there seated, clothed and in his right mind. Now, do you believe tonight that Legion didn't know that something happened to him? He knew something happened to him when he got saved. I know that the bright light from heaven may not shine. You know, people talk about the grass being greener and the birds are singing louder and prettier and the sun's brighter. But when you get saved early in life, it may not always seem that way. But what I know tonight is that the scripture is real. And when I asked him to save me, he done that. And I know that he's real tonight because of that. I believe tonight that I know that he's real tonight because I've seen him work salvation in other people's lives. If you look in Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul in verse 21, he's given a little testimony here about him really first getting saved and coming up and seeing the apostles in that first part of his ministry, if you'd let me say that. He'd been to Arabia, and I believe it'd been about 3 years and all these things. And he goes up to Jerusalem, but he said, in verse 21, afterwards I came unto the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. He said, because of the change that took place in my life. Listen, that's how the world knew. That's how the world knew. I'm different than what I used to be. You know how I know God's real? I've watched too many sinners, and I mean sinners, get saved, and it lasts. I mean lasts. I mean make a difference in their life tonight. I know he's real tonight. I'm about to close, but I know he's real tonight because of the witness of the Savior himself. Even secular history teaches us, and that of Jesus, that he was real. But then everything that he come to do, not only to be the Messiah, but in that to work the work of the Heavenly Father himself. Listen tonight, he was God. He is God. He'll always be God. But when he come and worked all those miracles and done all those things that he done, he proved that he was God. Ain't that what Nicodemus said? He said, Nicodemus said, we know that you are come from God. Everything that he went through, the prophecies that he fulfilled, how that he would come, how that he would suffer, how that he would die, how that he would rise again, and all those things. To me, it's just proof that God's real. I remember when John's disciples come over to him and said, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus told him, he said, go your way and tell John the things that you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor, the gospel. And to the poor, thank goodness for that, the gospel is preached. He said, I want to show you some things. He said, go back and you show him that the deaf hear and the blind see, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. He said, you go back and you tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. And it'll just prove that I am him. But you know how I know God's real tonight. And this is the last one. Not only for the Savior. Boy, I could talk about Jesus all night. But you know how I know he's real? It is by simple faith that I know he's real tonight. I just simply believe and trust in what I know. And it's not blind faith. I'm not leaping off into blind faith, but I can go outside and see. I can look and see. I can read that book right there. I've experienced too much. I know. Listen, I have seen him and experienced him too much to know that he is real. By simple faith, I just believe. And you know that's what it takes to get saved? Simple faith. You just come believe that Jesus lived and died and rose again, knowing that you're a sinner, and ask him to save you, and he'll save you. That's what it takes to get saved. Preacher, is it really that simple? It really is that simple. I love the simplicity of salvation. God didn't make it hard. There's a fellow that me and Paul went to school with. And I ran into his mother some years ago. And she said, would you please pray for him? He's living in Atlanta. And said he's just got, basically she said he's took an engineering job. And said he's just got too smart to believe in God. I think you have to be, for lack of better words, well, the Bible says you're a fool. You have to be a fool to believe that God ain't real. You can't go out there and look and not see that tonight and know that God ain't real. And look at what he's done in other people's lives. And how he's... You know what? If I don't last in the ministry, it ain't God's fault. Now, I'm planning on lasting. I want to be like Paul. I want to finish her to the end. But it ain't God's fault if I don't. And a lot of times people look at those people that quit and give it up, by the way, and all those things. But I'm looking at those people that did stay faithful and did finish. And God did help them through the hard times. Through the times they could have thrown their hands up and quit and said, I'm just not going no further. And he was there the whole time. How do I know he's real? I know he's real because he's living on the inside tonight. He's made all the difference in my life. Let's bow our heads tonight. Just a little something here on how I know God's real. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. When I preach on that, I know you believe that tonight, that God's real. But listen. Listen. Maybe tonight you've never been saved. You say, this is a Wednesday night prayer meeting crowd. Yeah, but maybe you've never been saved. If you need to get saved, I'd ask you to come tonight. Maybe you need some help. I'm telling you, God's real. He's in heaven. And He loves to hear our prayer and answer our prayer. If you've got a need tonight, we're going to have no music, but if you have a need tonight, maybe there's a need of salvation. Maybe you need to get saved, but maybe you just need some help. If you need some, I want you to come tonight. Anybody in the house?